I asked my daddy what the Star Wars stuff is all about. He said that right now we can't protect ourselves from nuclear weapons. And that's why the president wants to build the peace shield. It would stop missiles in outer space so they couldn't hit our house. Then nobody could win a war. And if nobody could win a war, there's no reason to start one.
Bob, you are, if I remember right, you told Nikolai to get into the Wild Cherry because you need that as part of the ritual to get into the Undertow?
Yeah, I also asked if he'd met my turtle.
I have not met your turtle, no.
All right, Nikolai, this is Dog. Dog, this is Nikolai.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, sir.
And I think Nikolai just sort of, like, stares. I think his expression is sort of inscrutable as he eyes Dog. But he does not verbally react to the greeting.
And I do just want to double check because the supernatural stuff's a little weird.
Yeah, you
can hear Dog talk, right?
I could hear it speak, yes.
Okay, just making sure. I couldn't get a read on it.
I think... Dog kind of, like, very painstakingly crawls up your, like, side as you're driving, Bob. Just goes, sort of, like, quietly in your ear, goes,
Bob, I don't mean to speak ill of a stranger, but this fella doesn't seem to have much in the way of manners.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he's an FBI agent, so it's probably... part of the job, question mark?
I would expect, if anything, being vested with the authority of federal law would encourage a greater level of formality.
Oh, buddy, oh, pal. You and I need to have a very long discussion later about that.
Oh, please, I apologize for being, inarticulate in my point. I fully understand that all law enforcement agents are ultimately the violent arm of capital that suppresses the proletariat. I just assumed there would be an aesthetic veneer of polite
Take that whole speech and put it in a fucking shirt with a picture of a turd, please.
Luke struggling to think of the next word.
Yeah, exactly. That thing continues on to the night.
I just thought there would be at least a veneer of polite civility to go with it.
I don't know. I don't know if that's happening on this one. I mean, I've seen how he treats his family, so.
I didn't realize you two were already acquainted.
How much are you, like, talking quietly to Dog? Like, how much do you care if Nikolai hears what you have to say?
Not especially.
Okay, then I think he kind of balks when he hears you say that. He goes, "What are you talking about?"
Oh, right. So there's some more stuff. So, this narrative that that Jordan is weaving with his newfound powers, he's kind of jumping back and forward in time as he goes. So, like, in between stuff that he does to me and my friends, we hear about this other group of kids 20 years in the future. One of which includes your grandchild.
He seems to just be silently mulling over the words you're saying. He is being very difficult to really get much of a read on as far as how he feels about any of this information.
Yeah, that seems like the main character trait you've given him is he's inscrutable. Anyway. Yeah, no, I am familiar with Naomi / Jake and their friends that they make in the year 1999.
Where is this entryway you told me about?
Okay, again, this is all wacky, supernatural nonsense. Like, the guy who gave us our Eidolons is literally Merlin. Like, from, like, King Arthur Merlin. So, to make it work, we had to kind of come up with a fake ritual just to seem like we were doing magic. We do 3 laps around the Waffle House, and then we're in the Undertow.
I see.
But we gotta do it in the Wild Cherry.
What protective gear do you have for this excursion?
My superpowers? That's about it.
Do you have any idea of what kind of radiation may be present? Is there breathable air?
Oh, yeah, we can breathe in there. I'll be honest, it might be the underworld, or underworld adjacent. The ferryman is there, so, you know.
So I'm going to ask again, do you have any kind of protective suit to defend against whatever environmental hazards might be present in such a location?
Absolutely not, but we've been there a few times and we've been fine.
He sort of, like, pinches the bridge of his nose and he says,
you do understand that cancers can take years or decades to develop.
I mean, I suppose, but, like, the author has been very, like, pretty adamant about when I die and how, and I know that you're fine in 20 years, so...
Give me a dazzle.
Sure, let's see, what's my glam? It's 2.
That is The Chariot or Temperance.
Okay,
So those are both neutral, unless,
Let's see, what are the specific,
Chariot is you exceed your own limits, Temperate is you are met with an equal and opposite reaction.
Let's go with the Chariot on this one.
Okay, you exceed your own limits, then yeah, I think, you do manage, like, the sheer level of passé that you're being does manage to, like, convince Nikolai that, not that you know what you're doing, he's very certain you do not, but he's at least confident that this is not, you know, as hazardous as he would be reasonably, you know, he can reasonably assume it to be.
Now, having said all that, and I think this is about when we're, like, pulling up to the Waffle House,
mm-hmm.
If you want to stop and get some equipment or safety gear or whatever preparation you need before we go in, I can wait.
It's fine. Clearly this is... Now, how did you discover that it was safe to go in there without protection?
So, Haley took us there by accident once. Her Eidolon has this thing where it changes, and what she can do just sort of shifts from time to time, and one time she got a power that let her open a portal to the Undertow. And we just sort of went in.
Just sort of. You know, I apologize. I realize that I have been unconsciously overestimating you and forgetting that you are a child, and I apologize for that. Let's get this over with.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very sorry. I know you want to keep this scientific and professional, but on some level, this is magic. We're dealing with just sorcery, my guy. You just kind of got to roll with it at some point. And then Bob floors it and starts doing laps at the Waffle House.
Yeah, you just sort of drive the van faster and faster around the Waffle House until you zip into the undertow.
All right, and here we are. Welcome to the other side, I guess.
And let me just make sure I understand. This was the location where you say that your stone was. Can you take me there?
Sure. And Bob starts driving toward the stone. And while they're driving, Bob's like, I do want to point out while we're on the way, I want you to take a look at the sides of the cave. You see the text?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the story. That's Jordan writing the narrative as we go. If you take a look there, you can see stuff that either my friends and I have done or will do, or things the kids in the 90s will do. It's all just sort of all over the place.
I think he looks long enough to confirm what you're saying and then sort of like stops looking at it very pointedly.
Are you?
And just starts like making some notes in his notepad.
Are you worried about seeing too much of the future?
I'm worried about being too influenced by this supernatural space, as you should be.
I suppose. Ship's kind of sailed on that one, I'm going to be honest.
Clearly.
You reach the sword chamber, and the stone is there, minus a sword. And I think Nikolai gets out. As he opens the door, he is clearly still very cautious about like whether this is at all safe to do. But, he's already thrown caution to the wind enough. And he just sort of like gets out and starts inspecting the stone.
Hey, Jordan.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, so, Nikolai here's got me thinking about maybe the need to approach this a bit more scientifically.
Sure.
Physically, where am I at relative to the Waffle House?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Give me a dredge.
All right. My biz is 2.
That is going to be the moon or the tower.
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna push on this one.
Okay, sure. That's fair. That gets you temperance. You're met with an equal and opposite reaction.
Sure.
So, what can I tell you about where
you are
physically?
This is a dredge, right?
Oh, yes. Is temperance somebody's...
That's my dissonant.
Oh, no!
So, still negative. So, you're met with an equal and opposite reaction. Derogatory.
God.
Sorry.
No, okay. It's good that you pointed that out.
Yeah, definitely. And also the clock is now at 2. What can I give you here? Not much, because you played a negative card. You probably have a reasonably good sense of direction, Bob. If anything, you kind of have to get places, quickly. You've been on foot a lot in the past, 4 or 5 months. So I would say that if you were paying careful attention to where you were going, you are... You were driving for a little while down here, but also these are fairly narrow caves that you can't take the car down very fast. So you're probably only a couple miles away from the spot you entered, and therefore presumably a couple miles away from the Waffle House.
All right, so theoretically I'm still somewhere in town.
Yeah, I mean, you're in, you have used this place to travel to other locations before. You sort of, were able to navigate to the cavern that corresponded with the drama teacher's house to learn more about her, if you'll remember. So, yes, presumably this chamber is connected to somewhere in town.
Okay. Hey, dog.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on this? This whole situation right now?
Well, could you be a little more specific?
Well, Nikolai's trying to examine this thing, right? I guess try and figure out objectively what it is instead of just going off like, it's magic and it's vibes. Like,
yep.
Do any of your, I don't know, animal senses tell you anything about this thing that I can't detect?
Let me give it a ponder.
I like doing Tog's voice. It's just fun. I think Dog says,
No, I don't think I can notice anything too out of the ordinary. If anything, I don't know if I notice anything odd at all. If I didn't know we were in some sort of magical cavern that serves as the threshold between life and death, where spirits and magic are born into the world, I might not suspect as much.
Hmm. Speaking of which, is Charon around?
Presumably he's around somewhere, but, you know, it's a big underworld.
I guess that's the thing. Is this the underworld, or is this just like, I don't know, the check-in, because Charon takes people somewhere when he picks them up, right?
Give me another dredge!
Oh boy, well that's still two. I'd imagine the deck's real bad.
Yep, that's still the moon and the tower. That's all that's left in the deck.
Oh, I'm gonna push again.
Okay!
Wait.
Great!
Shuffle that fucking deck.
Lock ticks to four. Let's see. Let me give it a shuffle. What were you gonna say, Maurice?
I was not counting the deck, but I was like, there's just more negative cards in the deck, right? I don't know if there's any positive ones in there.
Yeah. All right. Then you're pushing, which gets you the star.
Okay.
A new path is revealed.
Okay.
I was literally about to say, even if I got a bad card here, just getting the deck to shuffle, I think, is worth the push.
Yeah.
But okay,
sure.
The star. All right.
All right. A new path is revealed to you as you contemplate the nature of these caverns. Yes, this is not the, like, underworld per se. I think maybe just intuitively, Dog kind of described exactly what they are a moment ago. This is sort of a threshold between the world of the mundane and the world of the transcendental. And it is where, spirits of the dead first go before they can be guided onward to the next world by Charon. Or, honestly, you've seen Charon. He works relatively slowly. Maybe you don't know exactly how that works. Maybe there's other guides and he's just in your jurisdiction. Or maybe he's got some kind of power that lets him be in more than one place at once.
I just figured it was kind of like a Santa Claus thing, like he moves faster than he seems.
Also possible, yeah. I mean, that makes sense that that'd be the thought you go to.
What? What's that supposed to mean?
Just that you're the fast one, so you'd think about...
I thought you were calling me childish. All right.
No. I'm just saying that's the prism through which you're going to think about things is going fast.
That is true. Speaking of going fast, what's Nikolai doing right now?
I think he is just sort of inspecting the stone. I think he is, taken out a little chisel to, like, take a piece of it as a sample. Other than that, he is not doing all that much. I think after he pockets the sample he took, he says,
"All right, well, it does in fact appear that, as you said, this stone is now inert, which means there's very little else to be done here."
All right. Sure, there's nothing you want to look into while we're still here?
No, I think I have found enough.
All right. Let's load up.
You load him up into the wild cherry, and you get on out of here. Let me think. Casey and Haley, what are you up to?
Are you sure you're
hanging
out in room.
Uh-huh.
Fully clothed.
Aw.
Okay, yeah.
Are you okay, babe?
I'm great.
Is it the whole we're not alone when we want to be alone thing?
Yeah, I mean a little bit.
Or is it something else?
No, it's... I mean, it is weird to just have him just suddenly jump in like that.
I mean, I guess, but if she kisses you and then pulls back, he wants to watch me kiss my girlfriend. That's not my problem. She kisses you again.
Maurice, what are you up to?
I would like to roll bizarre to say that it's something so weird Jordan won't describe it.
Yeah!
What's your bizarre?
Oh, three cards. Three.
Three. The Emperor, Judgment, or the Wheel of Fortune?
I'm good. Wheel of Fortune. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, sure, that makes sense with what you're trying to do here.
You're the mercy of the fates.
Yeah, boy. I am a bit at a loss for how to interpret this one.
Yes!
Good luck, buddy.
Which I guess is exactly what you're fucking looking for.
3 hours, unaccounted for. There's...
Yeah.
There's soup. There's a, there's a slow pan in on a soup. There's a tomato. There's a bunch of screws around. Anyway.
There's like somehow a perpetual motion device, which shouldn't exist. And yet, it's there next to the can of soup.
Yeah. Then I guess, yeah, we'll cut in, 3 hours later as Flannery is just kind of like, you're both fully dressed, and Flannery's like, my dad's gonna be home soon, you gotta go.
All right, this was fun, we should do this again. Anyway, bye.
All right. let's see. I don't think you had a car with you because you had been kidnapped, Maurice.
Yeah, I think Maurice comes out and he's got like a big smile on his face. This thing went a lot better than he thought it was going to be being captured.
Yeah.
And then he realizes, shit, now I got to like walk home for wherever the fuck I am. And he's like kind of wandering around an area of town he hasn't been in before and like trying to find his way back home.
Can the wild cherry pull up?
Yeah, sure, the wild cherry can pull up.
Hey, Maurice.
Hey, Bob. Is Nikolai with you?
It really irritates the girls when I do this, but like, we really can just take advantage of the fact that we can hear each other's scenes, you know?
We can do this. It feels cheap, you know? I think, not to say my
Eidolon controls me and I'm only my ideology, but,
as a movie maker, it just feels cheap for us to be able to talk to each other like that. I don't know. So
I don't know, man. Think of it like we're breaking the fourth wall. We're avant-garde.
Yeah. That's fair. Okay. All right. But only in emergencies.
Emergencies like I need a ride.
That seems like enough of an emergency to me. I mean, listen, we're in Kentucky. Black kid in a weird part of town. I think it's best if you have a ride.
Okay.
That's fair. I appreciate it.
I've seen Flannery's dad.
Yeah.
He did try and murder us before.
He did try to murder us. Hell, my dads have met Mr. Hill.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm not to say that he's racist. I don't know if he's racist. He's just an asshole to everybody. So, I don't know. Roll the dice.
That's usually what racists say.
Yeah. He's literally that I'm not racist, I hate everybody kind of bitch word horse shit.
Right. Yeah, that is absolutely Mr. Hill's vibe.
Anyway, yeah, I'll take you home, buddy. So so while you and Flannery were having soup, I guess, Nikolai took me I took him to the Undertow.
I think Nikolai is still with you. You haven't dropped him off yet.
Oh, hey. What's up?
Oh, okay. I thought we were just skipping forward a bit, but all right. Sure. Yeah. Hi. He's still here.
Yeah. I'm going to say it took some time for you down in the Undertow.
Maurice nods and says, Detective.
Hello.
And then he kind of like holds up a handkerchief and just sort of like starts coughing. Just like...
Oh no, is there blood in there? Are you going to... Do you got the perk? Do you got the TB?
No, I don't have tuberculosis. I have an infant in my home and they carry disease.
Oh yeah.
Bob leans over to Maurice.
It's Naomi.
Oh, one of the future kids. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you... How much do I want to be an asshole? I need to quit asking this question on mic, but... Mr. Shirogoff.
Yes.
You love Naomi, right?
He bristles clearly that, like, you also know his fucking grandchild's name.
He says, that's none of your business.
Did you... You know, there's stuff, information about her down there. Did you, like, look at any of it?
I have no interest in allowing whatever psychic influence you have festering under this town to worm its way into my psyche.
Can't believe that the worst guy I know is making a good point.
Yeah. Maurice crosses his arms. Fair enough.
All right, anyway, we need to drop Mr. Shirogoroff off at his place, and then we need to head to the hospital.
Before we do that, though, I guess I was trying to work towards something, but Mr. Shirogoroff?
Yes?
If you knew something horrible was going to happen, and there's nothing you can do about it, or, like, you knew when you were going to die, you know, what would you spend your remaining time doing?
I don't accept your premise. Of course there's something I could do about it.
That's what I've been saying.
I love that happening over the airways, but I would love if that happened as soon as we picked up, as soon as we got to Haley. She's just there, and she's like, that's what I've been saying. Anyway, I don't know if we're going to do that, but...
Listen, while y'all were busy, we broke the fourth wall, the fifth wall, some other walls, everything's fine.
As for what I would do if I knew the date of my death, do I know the cause?
Let's say no.
Do I know if it's caused by another person?
Yes, you do.
Then I would do everything in my power to ensure that they died alongside me.
Damn, this dude's metal as hell. Turns to Bob.
Yeah, he's pretty intense. Anyway, I need to go check on my uncle. So let's drop this guy off.
Yeah, Bob, you take Nikolai home, and then you and Maurice drive over to the hospital.
Wait, why are you... What? Why do you sound like that?
What do you mean?
You're still doing the Nikolai voice.
Oh, shit! Sorry, I left a quotation mark off of the page. Oh, sorry, God, about that. I didn't close up his quote.
You can go ahead and pick us up as well on your way over. We'll be ready in time.
Sure.
Aww.
I just, you know,
yeah,
it's this is, you know, Bob's family. Yeah. It feels weird for us not to be there,
especially doing the things we're doing. So yeah,
I appreciate that.
We appreciate you, buddy.
Then the four of you meet up and head to the hospital. You ask for Jake McGovern's room. And you're directed to his floor, and I think as you, like, step out and talk to the, nurse manning the desk at that floor, she's just like, oh, are you the nephew?
Yeah, I'm here to see, Jacob McGovern.
We have been trying to get in touch with you. We called your home several times.
I've been away.
He's not doing very well.
Oh, no. Can I see him?
She kind of, like, looks over at his room and just says, if you hurry.
I'd like to deal in.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you the, beast, the virtuoso, or the infiltrator.
I will pick the virtuoso.
Okay.
And I think in my hand appears a staff with it looks like a caduceus staff.
Snakes? Is that what we're doing here? Yeah, okay. Uh-huh.
My Eidolon is a real physical staff, and through it I can push my mastery of adaptation beyond physical limits, allowing me to shed the skin of an object I touch to reverse or restore its properties.
Interesting. Okay. Then, you head into Jacob's room. He is like laying in a hospital bed. You can't quite tell if he's asleep or not. There's just sort of like a slow beep of a monitor and like, you know, he's got an IV. You get it. You've been in a hospital before.
Yeah. Been in a lot of hospitals lately. How is he doing?
It is tough to tell if he is awake or not at first look.
I'd like to dredge.
Okay. That gets you Temperance or the Hierophant.
Also, if you want to use it, Iris has a power. When you roll a pair of aces...
That's right, we're both virtuosos.
Yeah.
Oh, you will take one for it? So yeah, you'll get one more here. Yes, that's true. Then we also get the Hanged Man, so not very useful.
Well, it's a dredge, and the Hierophant is Maurice's resident, so I'm going to take that.
Woo!
Yep, so that is positive. Yeah, he is awake. He is just very weak. That heart attack hit him pretty hard, and, he is, probably not going to be alive for very much longer, Bob.
Why did you do this?
What do you mean?
Why did you do this?
Oh, sorry, Bob. No, I thought I didn't have any control over your reality. Things there just happen normally.
There it is. Yeah, no, you wanted to try to make a point. Yeah, I see.
I don't know what you're talking about. People get sick and die every day. I don't have any power over you.
You're a real bastard.
I would like, well, with your permission, Bob.
Yeah?
I'd like to try to restore their heart.
Be my guest.
Yeah, so I touch Bob's uncle with my staff, and it creates a patch of sort of skin that looks like snake shed, and I rip it off.
Let's see here. What would be... I could honestly see the argument for, like, Ellie, Biz, or Genius here, and I'm guessing you're going to want to go Biz because that's your good stat.
Yes.
I'll allow it. So what's your... Yeah, three Biz, which actually you get four because of the foreword. Death, the Hermit, the High Priestess, or the Empress.
Oof.
Death, Hermit, High Priestess, or Empress.
So something ends, something else begins, your actions isolate you, the supernatural moves through you, or you create something.
And this is not a dredge, right?
This is not a dredge, so yeah.
I'm thinking, like, all those are neutral, I think, right?
Yes, there's four neutral cards.
I'm going to pick death, not just because, both because that feels appropriate, and also because that is Maurice's dissonant.
Okay.
So, kill two birds with one stone there.
So something ends and something else begins. Boy, you're picking death trying to save somebody.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Get me esoteric over here.
Okay. Here's what I will give you, Haley. You peel away that layer of snake shed that your staff is creating around him. And it, like, peels deeper. It almost, like, doesn't make much spatial sense because you're almost pulling him apart completely, but there is a complete person underneath of there, even though there really shouldn't be room for one. And you just peel away his current body, and what is left behind, like you said, is a reverted version of him from earlier today. A version of him that is due for a heart attack sometime in the next couple hours.
Okay.
He still seems like he is kind of out of it, but, you know, he should have more of his strength now that he is pre-heart attack again.
I mean, it doesn't fix it, but it might give us a fighting chance.
Okay. I want to try something.
Okay.
All right, so something I've found that I can do a few times recently is channel energy by going real fast.
Sure.
I want to basically try and vibrate in a way that'll get Uncle Jake's heart working right again.
Okay. Interesting. That's crazy. So I am tempted to say you can draw elegance for it, but I'm giving you minus one on the draw.
All right.
To represent the difficulty of it.
Okay. My so Ellie stat's that, three.
Yep, so I'm going to give you two cards. The Fool or, well, you know what? The Magician, you achieve the impossible.
Yeah, I'm taking the Magician.
Then okay, you put a hand on his chest and you vibrate at the resonant frequency of cholesterol, which causes the plaque built up in his arteries to just sort of shake itself apart and flow away harmlessly.
Ooh. Great teamwork, Bob.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
And I think gave him a palm-shaped friction burn on his chest.
You know what? Acceptable losses. I think that's fine.
Given the alternative, much better.
Weird scar to remember it by.
Uh-huh. I think at that, too, he kind of like, his eyes kind of flutter open as he just sort of groans like, oh, and reaches up to touch the burn on his chest, and then kind of like looks up and says, oh, sorry, Bob, when did you get here?
Uncle Jake, you and I need to have a really long conversation. There's a lot going on you don't know about, and I think you probably oughta.
Do you want us to stay or give you some space?
I think this one should just be the two of us.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Casey grabs Bob by the hand and holds them close and says, I love you. You're my friend. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about all of this.
It's not your fault.
We'll stay in the waiting room if you need us.
Yeah.
We'll be outside.
Can you check on Dog? Probably still out in the van.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. They all leave you alone with your uncle, who just says, "What time is it even? I've been pretty in and out of it today."
What time is it?
Let's see. You've done a lot today. I think it's actually gotten pretty late. It's maybe, let's call it 8 p.m.
It's about 8 at night, Uncle Jacob. Yeah, you had a heart attack?
Yeah, I was awake enough to know that much at least.
Yeah, but you don't know why.
I think it's probably had something to do with eating garbage for 30 years.
No, boy, I don't know how to explain this. What if I told you that some prick became God and he's mad at me?
What?
Hey everyone, welcome to the ad read. For this week, I just want to thank you for listening to us, whether you donate $1 in Patreon, $3, $5, $10, or just listen to us on the free feed. I am immensely grateful for your support. We have been doing this for several years now, and I've gotten a chance to spend some time with my great friends and tell really cool stories. So I am immensely grateful for that. Remember, if you give us a little more, for $1, you get the podcast early. And then the more you give, the more extra stuff you get, including extra podcasts and streams and playlists. Splashdown is out, so there'll be some extra stuff as the month goes by. Anyways, let's go to the... Oh, and if you donate... Is it $5? I want to say $5. I'm not going to check. You get your name read out in a rotating cast, in a rotating list. And I get to read some names. It's me. It's your favorite. Everyone knows. I know you say it's Iris, or you say it's Molly, or you say it's... No. Everyone knows I'm your favorite. I've seen the Favi AMB? I don't. I want to read the list. Meh. Seafoam. I please let me know if I'm mispronouncing this and let Luke know so they can make a note. Satya, Malaise, Grayson. Can Cakes. Howdy Hazel. Snev Robin. Snev Robin? El Tentivity. El Tentivai. El Tentivai. Take Heart. Beliu. Oh, chingada madre. Please let me know how to pronounce this. Beliu Everywhere. Freddy Carrillo. There we go. That's a Freddy. Freddy Carrillo. Hey. You want to go for some tacos? We can listen to some norteño. Fucking Freddy Carrillo. Forest Traveler. Orbital Oracle. Danielle Agassi. Listen to my girlfriend talk about magic lore on the Bortos cast. Why do I always get the Bortos one? Let's check out what they're doing in the Bortos cast. Last I checked, they were probably doing something about Fallout, right? Bortos cast. Bortos cast. Last day, what are they talking about? They went to Chicago, good for them. And Flavor, yeah, Flavor of Fallout. Well, that's good for them. Go listen to that podcast. I listened to it like 2 minutes and it seemed perfectly good. My highest review, perfectly good. Ari Fitzgibbon, Every Sig 314, Arca, Leo Mall, Pinkle Sock, Sweet JP, Yasu Grenade, LCG, Flying Friend. Once again, sorry for mispronouncing this. Bisusan, and Nathan Bopani. Bopani? Bopani. Nathan B. After that, I understand why I'm not your favorite. Get back to the show. What are you doing there? Ish! Get back to the show. No! You can't be here. No!
Okay, maybe I should just show you. And Bob is going to, like, at high speed, dart back and forth across the room, so it's, like, really visible that they're moving faster than a person should be able to.
Oh, wow, that's some footwork you got there, kid.
Yeah, look, there's a lot happening, but first of all, magic is real. So we should probably start there. Second, there was this whole thing with the supernatural rock that gives people superpowers. Look, I know you're already mad at me, Jordan. Can we like pan up so I just try and have this conversation off screen? this is a lot.
Tell you what, why don't we cut over to the van with everybody else?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, dog. Yeah, what is it? How you doing, little buddy?
Oh, hello there.
Hey, dog.
Oh, Casey, you sound blue.
I am, my friend, I am.
What seems to be the trouble?
God?
I think Dog just sort of nods as,
yeah, it would seem that most of you are having a bit of religious crisis lately.
It's less of a crisis and more of
active antagonism.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Jordan, you're a real bastard. You're a real fucking bastard. And there is no piece of that boy that I love left in you. And I'm glad. Because the moment I kill you, and I will kill you, I won't feel bad about it.
Okay. Whatever you say. I mean, you know, you can't have it both ways. I can't be responsible for all the bad things, but then, all the good things. Well, that's not me. That's you guys doing stuff on your own.
She puts her Walkman back on, which she hadn't done for a couple of days. Kind of had been lulled into a false sense of security and happiness, having her friends and her girlfriend close. But now, knowing that no feeling is private, no thought is private, nothing's... There's no point in listening to God anymore.
If I could offer my...
Oh, go ahead.
She puts on a tape. She got... she mailed in a tape from England. It's called Three Imaginary Boys. And she presses play.
If I could offer my perspective on the situation...
Give it to me, dog.
I tried to broach this conversation with Bob a few weeks back, and they did not seem receptive to this line of thinking. Perhaps because they're understandably skeptical of anything that might seem to...
What's the word I'm looking for? That's the worst thing about talking dog. I love doing dog, but he uses big words, and sometimes I gotta stop and think of what word he'd use in a spot.
You should just start hanging out with Dictionary Tim. He knows all the words.
Understandably skeptical of any argument that might seem to, minimize the conflict you currently find yourself embroiled in, but I understand in some regards where your frustrations come from, but people have been railing against an unjust God for about as long as we've discussed the concept of God as sentient beings. Is this current situation really all that materially different than what you might normally experience throughout your life? Things happen arbitrarily beyond your control. Some people are hurt who don't deserve it. Some people gain benefits that they don't deserve. Sometimes you may feel that the universe itself is out to get you.
But in those situations, the people involved, they didn't, like, go to school with the guy that's God now. They haven't seen him, like, trip and, like, drop his food on his face. They haven't seen, like, the idea that this is a perfect being going on up there. We have evidence that is not the case.
Certainly, but while that may be true, many have also rejected the notion of any god as a perfect being. The exploration of theodicy, the problem of evil, goes back far into the ancient reaches of religions.
I understand what you're getting at here, and... we've already been told that there have been gods before Jordan. I mean, the original plan was that I was going to take the sword.
Casey, holds on to your hand. And doesn't say anything.
And I can't help but feel like if I had, maybe there'd be similarities. But I don't think things would be going quite this way.
Certainly.
There
are
not. Personal conflicts.
But I must ask once again, how is that any different from normal circumstances? Suppose you had never seen Jordan claim the sword with your own eyes, and suppose you... were just as oblivious to his
declarations from on high as you used to be.
Then it would be better. I think it would be better. Not knowing, not having to hear his voice.
But his voice would still be speaking, would it not?
But I wouldn't be able to hear it, would I? I wouldn't know it was his voice.
Certainly,
I would just react and exist instead of having...
Then is your objection simply your awareness of the existential prison you reside in and not the prison itself?
I mean, I reject the prison, but if I have to be in it, if you're saying we are all in a prison no matter what, at least I wouldn't want to know that I'm in the prison.
I have to disagree with that. And
I know.
I understand where you're coming from, KC, but I'm glad I know, because we can't fight what we don't understand, what we don't know exists. We can't tackle a problem if we don't see it first.
There's candle in the dark, Haley. I don't see.
We know who Jordan is. We know what he's doing.
Yeah.
I can fight that. We can fight that.
And
maybe we don't fight it the way that we have other Eidolon users. But I don't believe... In one thing, I think Jordan may not be fully lying. In that sometimes there are things that happen that aren't necessarily solely because of him. Because if he were fully in control of everything, we truly would have no hope. Our actions would be entirely dictated by his whim. Fighting would be ultimately pointless. I don't believe that's true. I think there are things that are out of his control. Which also means I have to accept that there are bad things that happen to us that he's not entirely responsible for. That's just what I believe anyway.
I told you before, and I will tell you again. I am your sword. I might not have... She stays quiet for a second. I am your sword. Wield me as you will, as you must. And I will strike down anything I can. Sometimes I feel that lately, all I can do is be wielded. Can't really wield myself. So, I put my life, my existence, my being, my love, my trust into you, Haley, and into you, Maurice, and into Bob, who I know can hear me. I put it, and I am here for all of you.
I suppose I just question whether this is an enemy you defeat, or if it is simply something that you learn to accept and then transcend. A prisoner can be happy without escaping their prison.
That is where I disagree with you, dog.
Also, his power is just Big Natalie, and I just beat Natalie with rock, paper, scissors. This family is not geniuses here. We could...
the voice of Bob just cuts in. I mean, you've been seeing what Natalie's kid gets up to? They're not the best and brightest.
I want to find out about her kid. That's weird. It's weird to know about her kid.
Okay, well, you don't have to be mean to Charlie.
Well, now I know her name.
She's going through a lot. I feel like Charlie's the meanest to Charlie.
Maurice puts his hands over his ears. Don't even know about this. I wish I had headphones.
Oh, sorry, Maurice.
Casey passes Maurice her headphones.
Maurice, listen. It's probably for the best that Natalie found someone else.
Yeah.
If she was still with you, Charlie would be taken by the Void Moose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just, as long as we don't cause those kids any problems. I mean, I guess we kind of already did, but...
They got enlisted by the FBI, dude. They're cops now, apparently.
The Mystery Solvers Club unwilling. Is cops? Are they throwing people in jail, too?
This is kind of.
They don't want to. They got forced into it. Yeah.
Oh my god. They probably don't even know the song. They've besmirched my club. I can't. Jordan.
Yeah. What's up?
I'll accept a lot of things. I'll accept maybe fucking causing traumatic romances and, you know, all these narrative things and, you know, attacking Bob's uncle. That fucking sucks. But turning my club into a bunch of fucking cops. No.
Maurice, Casey, and Haley, suddenly there is a loud bang as the roof of the Wild Cherry, like caves in slightly as though something very heavy just landed on it.
What the hell?
Bob, cutting back to you, I think you are going through your best attempt to explain everything to Uncle Jacob when the window of his hospital room suddenly just shatters.
Whoa!
Looking over at it, there is a dead body hanging, like, over the edge of it, like, just cut and scraped up by shards of broken glass.
Is it anyone I would recognize?
You approach it and, kind of tilt its head up, and no, you do not recognize this person. And suddenly another body hits the, backside of them that's hanging outside of the building, and it, drags it off of the window, and they both go crashing to the ground.
Oh, whoa, okay. Oh, jeez. Uncle Jake, we need to get you to safety. Can you stand?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Just head out into the lobby. Stay away from any windows. I'm gonna find out what's going on.
Okay. Yeah. He heads off.
Tell him to take. Tell him to Bob, take an aspirin. Continue. It's anti-inflammatory. Huh? And prevents heart disease.
Bob, you look out the. Well, real quick, what do you folks do in the van?
Oh no, I think I know what this Eidolon is named.
Casey gets out of the van, fist and flame, looking up.
Yeah, there you see just a limp arm hanging off of the roof of the van.
It's raining men, isn't it?
Well, don't ruin the reveal.
Well, too bad. Don't make it so obvious next time. I mean, come on.
You get some gravitas if you're just going to say it.
No.
Right. Yes, it's raining men.
Yeah, okay. It's what I figured. Bob's going to go out the window.
Okay.
And I'm going to look for anyone who might be suspicious. Is there anybody around?
Ooh. I'll let you decide whether you want to do this through dredging or investigating.
I'm going to go with dredge because that's my better stat.
Okay. And that is two?
Yes.
That's going to be the sun or justice.
Let's go with...
So positive or neutral?
Let's go with justice. Let's make the situation more fair.
Then I think you, as you kind of poke out the window here and look around, you see more and more corpses continuing to fall from the sky, which has become very dark and overcast. It's already nighttime, but there's just no stars, no moon up there. You don't sense anybody nearby that is causing this, which gives you the reason to believe that who's ever doing this has a very wide-ranging ability.
Hey, okay, I've been rolling with the idea that all of this supernatural stuff managed to stay secret for 20 years because a lot of it was on the down low, a lot of underhanded stuff, a lot of people getting up to shenanigans. Mm-hmm. It's raining corpses in the middle of town. How did this stay under wraps?
That's a great question. I guess I'll have to figure that one out.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah, all right.
Okay. I mean, all right.
Maurice wants to do a thing. Maurice.
Yeah, sure.
What does Maurice want to do?
Go ahead, Maurice.
Maurice does a weird hand symbol and summons Boogie Wonderland in defense mode. I'm going to make a dome so we don't get pelted by dead people. Insulation.
Oh, sure, yeah, you've got insulation. Yes, you may draw power to transform the border of your zone of influence into a solid barrier. On a positive card, choose two of the following. On a neutral card, choose one. So let's do the draw here. What's your pow?
One.
Hey, that's all you needed. It's the world.
Oh, hell yeah.
So you pick two between the barrier is sturdy and impervious to nearly all attacks. The barrier is transparent. Your allies can move back and forth through the barrier freely, and you may dismiss the barrier at will. So which two of those do you want?
I will take, most importantly, sturdy, perilous to nearly all attacks.
That seems important.
And transparent.
Yeah, both of those seem like good ones to pick.
Zoom.
And yeah, I think the rain is slowly picking up as more and more bodies just crash into the... do you want to describe what this looks like for this one?
Yeah, I think want to think the area around more... I want to say there's a giant disco ball floating above Maurice's head. And okay. That's projecting a force field. How do I want to describe this force field? I think
so, like, since you gave me the off. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, light shining off. I think if you give me the rain, you see the rain hitting the barrier and like sliding off.
Yeah, yeah. You just imagine. Yeah, you've got like a disco ball over your head that is like just projecting out lights that shine like sort of through the walls and roof of the Wild Cherry to create sort of a dome that the bodies are just hitting and sliding off of.
All right. Good job, Maurice. Everybody else is safe. I guess I'm gonna keep hunting.
I'm probably holding dog under my arm, just like carrying around.
Yeah.
Are these corpses? Are we sure these are corpses? Are they corpses before?
I mean, as far as you can tell, yeah. Bob got a pretty good look at that one that hit the window, and it. Oh, you're saying are they corpses as they're falling?
Yes.
Or are they dying when they hit the ground? Let me think.
Well, they're not screaming or anything, so I hope they're just corpses. Yeah,
I could make you dredge for that, but I don't think there's much point. I'll just say yes, you can tell that these are corpses.
Hmm.
They're just
Do we know anyone named Jennifer?
yeah, these are just sort of 200-pound missiles being fired at you from the sky.
Okay, we really gotta find the source quickly. Out of character, what Bob did was a dredge or investigate?
Dredge.
Okay. I think Haley would like to investigate.
Okay. Yeah. What's your genius?
My genius is 2.
I get you strength and the levers. So positive neutral.
Okay. Let me think here. I think I'm basically like looking just to sort of flavor this. I think Haley is sort of looking at the area of being impacted by the Eidolon power, and essentially. Trying to study like where it is most frequent and sort of where it is a lot more rarer to see a body fall, to try and determine like a relative border for the power.
Okay.
And so I think the first question that I'm going to ask is, what's hidden here using the levers?
Using the levers, so neutral. I'm trying to think of what I can give you that is useful, because I think as you are looking out from the barrier, there doesn't seem to be any real pattern to the falling of these bodies. You're not noticing any kind of like... safe spot or anything like that, and it is like, again, it's dark, it's night, visibility is not at its highest, but you are seeing like out onto the road to the hospital, cars crashing as they are getting hit by bodies. Everywhere you look, you just see more of them. It is sincerely as if it is just a rainstorm, but the raindrops are, you know, 100 times bigger.
Okay. What weaknesses can I exploit? Strength.
Strength. Okay. Then from that, you still haven't gleaned any information on who the source of this is, but again, as far as you can tell, it is completely indiscriminate. And if that's true, it means that they are just as vulnerable to this power as you are.
Okay. So they must be... If that's the case, then they must have taken shelter somewhere as well. Because right. They wouldn't risk themselves getting caught inside their own power.
Yes.
Which makes me think they're probably a conductor of some sort. Okay.
Conductor type user. What can we from there we can deduce their mental state and ideology.
Right.
Can we?
Yes. Okay. Maurice believes this earnestly now. He is character type, Eidolon power type, astrology pilled.
All right, yeah, hit me. What is this person's deal?
Do you want to give me a dredge, Maurice?
Yeah, let's go. Okay. Three.
That is the chariot, the devil, or the moon.
Let's go with the chariot.
Okay, was the chariot somebody's anything? I don't think so, right? No.
Nope.
Okay, you exceed your own limits. Then, Maurice, yeah, what you can deduce from this about this person's psychology... They have an incredibly destructive, incredibly morbid power that damages things indiscriminately. That would suggest somebody that has, I mean, not to get too dramatic about it, but no meaningful respect for life. Somebody who has overwhelming power and authority, and who doesn't care who is hurt when they wield it to their ends.
It's the mayor. We gotta go to the mayor. I fucking hate that guy.
No. Hey, Jordan, you got any other relatives you didn't tell us about?
I don't have any other relatives that I haven't told you about, Oof. No. I mean, I got my mom, but, like, it's not my mom.
Okay. I'm trying to think. What are... The only reasonable places around here with shelter is the hospital, really. Is there a basement floor to the hospital?
Interesting. There would probably be a basement here, yes. I would assume... Hey, I'm no hospital architect, but I'm gonna guess that hospitals generally have storm shelters.
Yeah, I mean, if I were an enemy Eidolon user who... just wanted to take someone out and didn't particularly care if and really only cared about keeping myself safe in the process, I would just go to the safest place in the zone of effect where I want to kill my targets.
All right, got it. Bob is going to head to the hospital basement at all speed.
Okay, yeah. Let's see. What do I want to give you here? Bob, give me a genius draw.
Oh, that's a one.
That's the tower.
Oh, no.
I've been pushing a lot today. I'm just going to eat it.
You've been pushing a lot.
I'm just going to eat it.
All right. Give me the tower. Yeah, that's the tower. Something terrible happens. Okay. Then what can I give you here that... is terrible. Okay, here's what I'll say. You rush down to the basement level. You're there in seconds. There's sort of a boiler room, a morgue, and yes, a storm shelter. But as you toss all of these rooms, you don't notice anybody out of the ordinary. Obviously, somebody could be playing dumb, but you don't really get the vibe that they are, and if there's one thing you know, it's vibes. And the thought dawns on you that this power might have a wide enough scope of influence that they don't even have to be on the hospital grounds to be attacking you, which means you need to not only ascertain where they could be hiding out somewhere in town, but also navigate there amidst the storm of bodies.
All right. Well, Bob's gonna, like, stretch their legs real quick. Just get loose, limber up. All right, let's cover some ground. And they're gonna take off. And they're just gonna start scouring for this person.
Yeah, give me an Ellie draw.
That's a three.
That is going to be the Emperor, Judgment, or Temperance. So, neutral, negative, neutral.
God, how does Temperance keep coming up over and over again?
That's true.
did you put, like, three Temperances in the deck? Like, just...
No, I did not. I have not cheated a draw since that one time.
Okay. I mean, you do it once, and it's never off the table again.
Ah, sure, I get
but
it.
I mean, all things being equal, you might as well take Temperance to get that out of the way.
Yeah, sure. It's because I'm sick of seeing it.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, Temperance, you're met with an equal and opposite reaction. Then, in that case, Bob, you take off sprinting out of the, like, hospital campus and down the road. It is sort of like a country road that intersects the highway to get to the hospital. That's, you know, one of the harder parts about scouring Lilaterie for anything is that everything is pretty spaced apart, because space is one thing we've got out here. You are dodging and weaving through the bodies, but getting anywhere is taking time, especially because you're slowed down by having to constantly try to dodge out of the way of things. I think it is not exhausting you, but it's putting just enough strain on you that you're getting tired enough that you slip up and just get slammed in the back by one of the falling bodies and are sent, like, crashing to the, like, ground of a street with it on top of you, and quickly another one lands on top of that, and, like, they start piling up on top of you. Advance your damage track for me as you're sort of, like, dog-piled by corpses.
Oh, okay. Alright, maybe this is the wrong approach. Okay, you said it doesn't look like anyone I recognize. Is there anything notable about these corpses other than their weird supernatural origin?
Let me think.
Do they look like
dredge?
Do they look like anything?
You know, they just look like people. I mean, listen, it's raining men, so they look like men. But
just random.
Random men.
Do they have fingerprints?
Give me a dredge, Bob.
That's another two.
The Hanged Man or the Hermit?
Okay. Well, oh jeez, that's a negative and somebody's dissonant.
Yeah,
I'm gonna eat the Hermit.
Okay, that's Casey's dissonant, so your actions isolate you, negative. I mean, you're already pretty isolated, buried as you are under a stack of bodies. As you squirm around to try and get, like, a closer look at their faces, no, you do not recognize any of these people in any way. They just look like a random assortment of dudes.
Okay.
Casey, Haley. I got an idea.
Sure.
So we know that they are a conductor, like moi, and there's got to have a range, even if it's a crazy range. We can maybe use math to find out where they are at. If we can find how far up are they appearing? If we can find how far up they are appearing, we can maybe use some trigonometry to find out where they are. You know what I mean?
We could check... Wait, we should be able to get data... I know they're not like a normal storm event, but We should be able to get weather radar data in real time.
Yeah. Are they coming from clouds? Are there clouds up there? Or are they just... Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to try to, like, tune the radio into, like, a weather station or something?
Yeah. I think we'd probably have to get inside the hospital to do that, though. We're, like, outside the van, right?
I mean,
the van is in...
Oh,
yeah, the
okay.
van has a radio, and it's within Maurice's, like, dome of protection.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, let's get inside the van and tune the radio.
Okay, yeah, you managed to find a news station that just says, ladies and gentlemen, for anyone just joining us, it appears that there has been a surprise thunderstorm forming around the Lelateri area in Newcastle County. We are still not clear exactly what's happened, but from word on the ground, it sounds like there may have been an mid-air collision between two commercial jets, and well, it seems like there is a lot of unsettling things happening on the ground now.
Okay.
That's their explanation?
That seems... yeah. Yes, that's their explanation, Bob. It's a news organization that's trying to figure this shit out in real time. It only started like 10 minutes ago. It's a developing story.
Okay, so they could be over a huge area in town. We don't have any reasonable way to find them just by scouring on foot. We can't get any satellite data, really. How do we find this person?
Hey, that can have you make a genius draw if you want to try to sort this out.
I would.
Okay, two genius, right?
Yeah.
That is the High Priestess or the Empress?
Okay. I will take the Empress.
The Empress, you create something. Haley, I think you consider... I imagine you probably have, like, a road atlas in the van somewhere where you can look at a map of town.
Yeah.
And, as you study it, you think about... You're trying to think, in the best case scenario, the hospital is as far as they could possibly reach, right? Because that means that, you know, that minimizes the amount of distance that you would have to go to find them. So you sort of, in your head, start imagining, or maybe even drawing some circles on the map, thinking about, like, circles big enough to encompass the hospital, but also encompass, you know, a large portion of town. And maybe unsurprisingly, you realize that you can draw a circle that encompasses both the hospital and the high school.
Okay, and where is the overlap in that Venn diagram?
I would say it's not really a Venn diagram. You can draw like one circle that is big enough to cover basically the entire town, with both the hospital and the school being close to the edges of the circle.
Okay, that's what you mean. Where is the center of that circle?
The center of that circle would be, like, probably around Main Street.
Of course.
To be clear, what I'm trying to imply is, you know, hey, where do most of the evil Eidolon users, like, work?
Fair, that makes sense.
I'm saying he could be at the high school and reach you.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so we'll have to go. It does seem like the teachers and staff specifically really have it out for us.
Yep.
So that's probably where we should have gone all along. That has been the trend. Casey, can you drive? I'd like to have Maurice concentrate on keeping this bubble up.
Yeah, are we stubbing by and getting Bob?
Oh, Maurice didn't pick that the shield is penetrable. I can't get in.
Yeah.
That's okay. Can I wriggle my way out of this, like, corpse pile?
You can, but it's dangerous out there. It is kind of giving you some shielding right now.
That's fine. I'm going to try and make my way to the school.
Okay. Then, yeah, I think the Wild Cherry starts driving with the protective barrier covering it as... Bob, you start sprinting towards the school, and on the roof of the school, another one of the vice principals is just standing, watching the road, holding an umbrella over his head that on which the words, "It's raining men," are printed.